All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. John, the aged pastor and elder, at the point of this writing, is probably the only one of the original 12 who remains. More likely than not, it's 95 AD. Domitian is the Roman emperor, as we've discussed, and the reign of terror upon Christians has been unfolding tragically. Domitian is the first living emperor who demanded worship. The previous and deceased emperors received worship, but he demanded worship while he was alive. And it was incumbent upon you, if you were in Roman territory, that annually you had to declare in a ceremony that Caesar is Lord. You go to the Agora place, the marketplace in Ephesus, and on your way in, there were several entries into this massive agora or marketplaces, and there would be an incense burner, and you would take, and it was required of you, or you could not get in. You'd take a pinch of incense, and you'd throw it onto the incense burner in honor of Caesar. Or you couldn't get in. You couldn't buy. You couldn't sell. We go to the book of Revelation nowadays and we take our wonderment to it, and it's full of lights and it's full of beasts and it's full of all sorts of imagery. We have no idea how to get our mind around it. But the most important thing to remember out of all of our lessons that we look into the book of Revelation for, it is the revelation of Jesus. Amen. The revelation of Jesus. And so as we take a look at the book of Revelation, he's the one we want to see. He's the one we want to see. We want to apply his teaching, his understanding to our lives. How many want to be a better Christian than you are sitting here today? How many want to have more of the mind of Christ? You have the mind of Christ, but we want to yield more to him, right? We want to be more like him, act more like him, and talk more like him. How many know that in most of our lives, it's not quite soup yet? It's not quite ready yet. We're on the journey. But the aged apostle refused to pinch the incense and throw it on the incense burner and wouldn't say Caesar is Lord. So as an aged man, they banish him to the island of Patmos, a rocky outpost. Sure, it's surrounded by seas, and they had mines there they worked. And you read some commentaries, and they put the aged apostle and pastor to work as an elderly man. And one day, he has this stunning, incredible vision of Jesus. Now, you got to track with me here. He hadn't seen Jesus for 60 years. He had seen Jesus in a lot of capacities, walking on the water and dead, buried, and resurrected. And all of a sudden, he sees Jesus in such a remarkable way, it causes him to fall at his feet as dead. This is stunning, this revelation. He sees Jesus as the Alpha and Omega, the one with seven stars in his hand and walking among the seven lampstands. And then Jesus brings declarations or letters to seven churches. They were real churches. They were living churches. And yet, it's probably a circular. There were specific things to each church, but it's probably something that went around to all of the churches for which we all could learn and grow. Have you learned anything so far from the letters to the churches in Revelation? Let's do an instant playback. Let's go back to our time and some of the original ways we learned on some of these. Our first letter was to the church of Ephesus. We're just going to do a real quick synopsis. And remember, Domitian's temple was at the highest place in Ephesus, and he had a 50-foot tall statue of himself with his arm upraised in majestic power placed at the top of other statues, all the other gods that they had statues toward, and he was on top. He's in charge. He considered himself the supreme. And you could pull into the port of Ephesus and you would see this astronomical statue of Domitian, and it literally intimidated the Christians as they saw it. But these Christians got pushed away and their love for Jesus began to go cold. They were incredibly praised for their works and all of the things, but Jesus said, "You've lost your what?" Remember? Your first love. And then there was something that we learned about at the Artemis Temple, or Diana's Temple, one of the seven known wonders of the world. There was a large tree there, and people would come just to touch the tree if they wanted to have children, or to be fertile, or pregnancies, or blessing in their lives. And Jesus says to this church, if you repent, I'll give you the tree of life in the paradise of God. It meant something immediately to these people, because they could never get in to touch that tree. Second, Smyrna. We're in Smyrna, the first city in Asia to build a temple to the goddess of Rome, and the place of perfume, myrrh, came mostly for the known world right here out of Smyrna. It was a poverty-filled church, and Christians were arrested, and criminals, they were seen as criminals, they would be laid down and rocks laid one by one and massive weights upon their chest until they're crushed under the weight. Christians were slandered. They were called atheists because they refused to go into the other temples to the other gods. They were considered cannibals because they ate his blood and drank his blood and ate his flesh at their communion. They were considered anti-family because they loved their brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember Polycarp? Polycarp was burned at the stake here because he wouldn't renounce his Jesus. There were a lot of temples at the outcropping, the highest place of the hills, and they were traveling, or they were placed around in such a way that it looked like a thorn, or a crown. I'll get it out. Not a thorn, but a crown. And it was called the Crown of Asia. And what did Jesus say? That winners of athletic games would get a crown or a wreath. And Jesus says to this church, remain faithful and I'll give you the crown of life. Third was Pergamos. Pergamos had a library of 200,000 parchments. It was a community where they developed and invented the parchment for writing. And Jesus says this is where Satan's throne is. And the city built the first temple to Caesar, and it was a religious capital. Zeus was there, and Babylonian ancient worship was there. Every known deity had a temple in Pergamos. You could take your pick. You'd come in on holiday, and if you wanted your crops blessed, go to one. You wanted wisdom, go to another one. You could go to any temple you wanted. But there was also in Pergamos, recall, a huge medical school. Remember their symbol? The same symbol used today. A snake wrapped around a pole. And in their temple, if you were ill, they'd lay you down to sleep at night on the floor of the temple, and snakes were loosed, and they'd crawl all over you all night long to impart their demonic healing. But the problem is, Jesus says, I understand what you're going through, but you have among you the sin of Balaam, and you also have the Nicolaitans, the Gnostic belief that you can have your spirit right with God, but you can sin however you want in your body and still be fine. How many know, church, that's not true? Sin of Balaam, moral corruption, sexual corruption, any sexual sin is just fine. It's not fine. Someone say amen or oh no. You take a look at society. We have a society that thinks sexual sin is fine on every hand, and it doesn't matter whether it's fornication, adultery, homosexuality. Sexual sin is sin, and it needs to be repented of, and it doesn't need to be in the church. It needs to be out of the church. Amen. Someone say amen or oh no. Get a little passionate about that, Pastor Kev? Well, just trying to repeat the words of Jesus. Don't blame me. Okay, fourth, Thyatira. Thyatira. Packed with guilds and unions. And frankly, this was more unions, more guilds in Thyatira than any other Asian city in the known world at that time. What did it mean to the Christians? In Ephesus and Pergamos especially, you'd lose your life if you didn't go into those other temples. Here, in Thyatira, you'd lose your job. You lose your way of living. The only way you could have income. There was such a grip on this city. If you were a leather worker, and they had some of the most popular items the known world could enjoy and purchase. But if you didn't go to the temple of your guild, and you were a leather worker or a brass worker, and you're a Christian, and you say, I can't do this, and there's sexual immorality and drunkenness and debauchery that takes place, that's part of their worship at all of these temples. But if you couldn't go, they looked at you and said, no, wait a minute, you don't get this. Because if you don't go, it's not just you that's going to bring a curse down on yourself. You bring a curse from the god Apollo and the other gods down on our entire guild. So you'd better get in there. Or they'd kick them out. No way to live. No way to make a living. wealthy, cosmopolitan community. But after a while, it became, can't we please go a little bit? Spirit of Jezebel. Remember the condemnation? Jezebel, who was a counselor, not a specific named person, but a spirit. It's a counsel that Christians, it's okay. Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Anybody ever hear that? Don't be, don't worry. Don't be so serious as a Christian. You go to the temple, it's all right. You can still be a Christian and get engaged in all the world's sin. It's okay. But if you didn't, you had no way to live. And this little tiny church that couldn't rule, didn't have any impact, was ruled over. Jesus says, listen, if you'll repent and keep right and hold on, I'll let you rule the nations with me. And I'll give you my strength. How many know, even when it's tough with family and friends who don't want what you have, it's worth waiting for Jesus? Amen. All right, let's go on. Sardis. Sardis, the city in the history. Now, the word Sardis means precious stones. And it may refer to the gold mines in the area. The story of the Midas touch was from here. There was a possible gold rush in Sardis. Sardis prospered in the Lydian kingdom. And how many know money was first minted here in Sardis? They had gold coins that first came into being in Sardis. It was literally an impregnable city high up on a hill. Let me go show you a few of these pictures, Vern, if you could grab the lights there. There was this huge, jagged peak, 1,500 feet above everything else, and they built their fortresses up here. It was a very tough way to get to it, only a little narrow path, and so you could even have a few soldiers if you were in command of the area, and you could get rid of the enemies because you could see them coming. They couldn't scale the walls. Three sides of this thing were sheer cliff, and there was absolutely no way. It looked like nature itself had made an impregnable city, one that couldn't be defeated. Very interesting. The people became proud, arrogant, complacent, and overconfident. They were sure nobody could scale this hill. How many have ever heard of Croesus? Rich as Croesus. King Croesus ruled in Sardis. He was incredibly wealthy. They say when he was defeated, the one who defeated Croesus probably took away from there at least $600 million worth of treasury. And that was like 60 years ago figures they were basing that statement upon. And it's a lot more than that today. Under Rome, it became a city that made and had wool and dyed wool for, they probably invented wool for carpeting, and it was said to be invented there. They had great jewelry that came out of there. It was the worship of the mother god Sabel. Can you say it with me? Sabel. And no temple worshiper was allowed. Now, this is all important. It all leads up to when we get to the scriptures. No temple worshiper of any of these temples were allowed in there if you had dirty clothes on. So they would give you clean, fresh, white garments. Interesting. Sabel worship was one of the most debased worship forms around. Sexual immorality was everywhere. You'll see this is a common theme, because if people make a god, Romans made a god out of their body. They did a lot of their Olympic games in the nude. And good Jews and people of modesty were horrified by it and couldn't participate in it. But it was the thing which kept driving their communities in those days. But sin of the darkest impurities, you read commentaries, would take place there. They believed she could restore life to the dead. This city, Sardis, also had the second largest temple to Diana. So they had Diana worship, they had emperor worship, they had Sabel worship. By the way, there was a huge, huge synagogue here. Now, track with me if you would. A huge synagogue. Where were the synagogues mostly in most of these communities? Toward the outskirts of town. Here, right downtown. And here in this synagogue that they've unearthed, they find not Hebrew writing, they find Greek lettering inscribed on the walls. On some of them. You had the Artemis Temple, huge columns, and these couple remain. And in fact, it was such a huge temple, they never even finished it before the city was overrun. And back over to the right, your left, as you, well, no, to the right, that was a great big, what was called gymnasium. And so over here in the foreground, you had the church, Christian church, next to the synagogue, next to the gymnasium, a huge synagogue, next to a huge gymnasium. And out in the courtyard of the gymnasium, they would do their games and lots of it with nakedness because the Romans made a god out of the body. And usually, the Jewish people were of such modesty, they'd have nothing to do with it. But they were all together. Girls still believe in the mother goddess, and Cybele was the mother goddess, and they still believe in her. And you go to this area now, this is Turkey now, you go to this area now, and you'll find on tree limbs and on trunks of trees where girls have ripped off part of their dresses and wrapped them around the limbs and trees, and they're praying to the mother goddess for their own fertility and their marriage to come. Would you please turn the lights on? All background, all history, as we take a look at the scriptures. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Are you breathing?
Yes.
Punch someone in the arm and say, it's sure interesting. Okay. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. Watch this. That you have a name, that you are alive. Please say the next phrase with me. But you are dead. Be watchful. New American Standard says, wake up. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect. New American Standard says, I have not found your deeds completed before God. Remember, therefore, verse 3, how you have received and heard. Hold fast, New American Standard. Keep it and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch or wake up, I will come to you as a thief. You will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, New American says, a few people even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes, say it with me please, shall be clothed in white garments. That would put an immediate visual impact in those who understood what was happening. Remember, all the other temples, they would make them change their garments into white garments before they could go in and worship. It was speaking directly to these people. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Please say the last verse with me. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can you say with me in a loud voice, ouch!
Ouch!
Ouch. Many commentaries believe that the Apostle John founded this church. Can you imagine him with the heartbreak hearing this from the heart of Jesus saying, you think you're alive, but you're a dead church. Ouch. The exact opposite of Smyrna. Smyrna was dead yet lived. Sardis lived but was dead. You're living on your past reputation, Sardis. Church, if your past is more important to you than your present and what you're living in Jesus Christ and your future yet to come in eternity with Jesus, then you're in trouble. Someone say amen.
Amen.
A star burns out in the sky eons before we see it go dark. The light of a star continues to send its light to earth. This church continued to radiate out its light though it had gone dead. Listen to the message. Jesus says, I see right through your work. You have a reputation for vigor and zest, but you're dead. Stone dead. Jesus looks inside this group of people and sees nothing. No heartbeat. Apathetic. No prayer, no worship, no reading of the Word. They do the traditions, maybe even come to church, but no life. Pride, lazy, comfortable, apathetic, don't care, try to look good. Ouch! Come on, church, isn't that what a lot of the American church looks like? Jesus says, I want you to remember where you started from. I want you to repent and I want you to get back to those first works. What were the first works? I fell in love with Jesus, didn't you? I fell in love with the one who first loved me. He saved me from my sins. I had guilt in my life. I may not have been a bank robber, but I had done enough sins that I knew I needed a Savior. Today, we're cursing generations of people by a teaching that says, oh, you're good, you're fine, there's no such thing as sin. So they don't know how to get rid of their guilt. And we got more people running into alcohol and drugs and illegitimate sex and every kind of wickedness because they don't know there's a Savior who is here who loves them, who died on a cross for them, who will redeem them and give them life. Yes, amen. Did you get saved like I did because you needed to? Yeah. I did. But Jesus says, go back and do those works. It says, remember where you started from. He says, your works aren't, interestingly, it means your works aren't complete. You think you can coast in. But how many know we're not done yet? Come on, Pastor Kev, I'm retired. How many know you're not retired in Jesus? Still growing, still in the Word, still loving the Lord, still need to hear from Him daily, still need to have my attitudes changed. If I'm snotty, I still need to repent. And you know what I mean? We're still got to be more like Jesus. That was fancy preacher talk. If you're snotty, you need to repent. Your works aren't complete. Sometimes we think, I don't have to run after Jesus anymore. Been there, done that. Come on, don't have to serve in church. Don't have to do anything. Come on. Been there, done that. Jesus says, wait a minute. Get it right. Pastor Carl, who's a remarkable man of God, no matter how he's feeling, steps up and prophesies the word of the Lord and has never read my notes, and he's right on. In the confirmation of the Spirit, I admire the man, and he taught me forever. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. What's your end times perspective? Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Are you post-trib? Are you pre-trib? Are you pan-trib? Everything's going to pan out all right? Doesn't matter. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. When's it all wrapping up? I don't know. But I want to be ready. I want my heart right with God. I love Jesus more today than I've ever loved Him before. All I want to do is keep walking with Him and keep loving Him. Keep knowing Him and help us all do the same. And He says, I want you to remember. Church, let's put it in a term we can all understand. Is there a dry rot on your deck? Are your foundations crumbling? Has your window lost its seal? So it's all gone foggy? Is there a leak in the roof? I heard that. She's going to build a house. She said, oh God, I hope not. Oh man, I hope not. Jesus says to this church, I want you to get back to where you started. Remember, this church, if it was started by the Apostle John, some of these churches they think were established by Paul. Remember, he was in Ephesus, and it said the whole known world came to hear the gospel through his ministry as he was in Ephesus for 3 years. But the early church was laid on the foundation of Jesus and Paul and John and these fantastic people and our foundations, the apostolic foundations with which we were begun. And are we holding not to tradition, but to Jesus and the Word of God that we were taught? Is He first in your life? Remember when Israel said, we want a king. We want to be just like all the other nations. sometimes in the midst of all the trouble, we can easily develop an attitude as these people did. Can't we all just get along now? We talked about it last week. That's why you saw a church right next to the huge synagogue, right next to the huge gymnasium. It didn't matter. Greek lettering inside the synagogue instead of Hebrew. And aren't we all just getting along? Don't all religions have some truth? And no matter how much you want peace in your life, you wrestle with the reality that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Come on, Pastor Kevin, you're really saying Jesus is the only way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might like me more if I say, no, there's lots of ways. But that's not what the Bible says. So I love you. I don't have to bash you. I love the person who asked me the question, and I say, yes, give your life to Jesus. Do I respect you? Sure. Well, much of the time. If you're doing things I don't respect, I may not respect what you're doing. You may not respect what I do, but I love you with the love of the Lord. But this is where truth is. And you read and listen to a bunch of the teaching on this church. And I understand the pressures where, let's just dive into it here. Do you see what I see in this? There's no commendation whatsoever to this church. This church, Jesus doesn't say, I see your patience. I see you wrestling with heresy. I see you wrestling with the doctrine that wants to come in. And he doesn't say, I see your good works. He says, right out of the chute, you're dead. Because he doesn't help if he doesn't tell the truth. So what isn't said speaks as loudly as what is. How many know that the devil doesn't have to mess around with a church that's dead? He's already accomplished his goal. And when you mix with the world, you have no message. So, I don't want to be distinct. If there's no problem, no persecution, no trouble, no suffering, you got no life. Jeremiah 3, verse 22, return your backsliding children. I'll heal your backslidings. And Isaiah 59, 2, your iniquities separate you from your God. Your sins hidden His face from you. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, create a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, David said, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit. How many know He can and He will? That's why He speaks this message to this church, so He will help them wake up. He says, strengthen the things which remain, because some are ready to die. Some of the church weren't dead yet. How many know we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Anybody in this room besides me want a fresh wind of God blowing in your life and in this room? Lord God, moved by Your Spirit. I want to see fresh revival. I was talking to some friends just the other day, and I've said, you've heard me say it before, I don't want to go back to the past, but the charismatic days when the fruit was jumping off the tree, I want to see a fresh wind blow and a fresh move of the Spirit. And I want to see people come to Jesus and kids and children and families come into the house of the Lord and be established with hunger for Jesus to be trained and taught. I want to see a room full of mentors reaching out on your city blocks, and each of you can have a home church right there. Got to have a big vision, right? Be watchful. Wake up. If you will not watch, he says. Now please, I'm going to ask you to give me a few minutes more as we come to a close. I think this is literally profound. Listen to how it all comes together. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. You will not know what hour I come upon you. You want to know the rest of the story? Turn to each other and say, I hope he tells us the rest of the story. And in closing, you got to come back next week to hear the rest. No. As went the city, so went the church, sadly. The people were apathetic, complacent, and careless. Remember, Pat, if you'll put that big peak picture back up again. They said, we're impregnable. You can't get to us. Three sides, sheer cliff. There's no way we can be defeated. Our fortress is there. Our city is protected. Absolutely no way you can get to us. Twice, they were humiliatingly conquered because that was their attitude. The sheer cliffs of the fortress made him feel safe. King Croesus ruled there until he was stopped by Cyrus of Persia. Cyrus began a surge and a siege of Sardis for 14 days. Listen now. For 14 days, Cyrus could not figure out how to get up those walls. So he told his people, he says, I want you to watch, and I want one of you to bring me a plan. Just get a load of this. 14 days in, one of the soldiers got careless, and his helmet fell over the wall. Now, what's he doing with his helmet off, if he's a soldier necessarily, but careless, probably went to sleep. And his helmet went over the wall. And a soldier was sitting down there, and he watched it tumble down through cracks and crevices in the rock. And as the enemy soldier was watching, the soldier who dropped his helmet scampered over the wall, crawled down, picked up his helmet, and innocently went back up over the wall, teaching them exactly where to go. And late that night, the enemy soldier took several with him. Now listen, went exactly that way up the rock. And you know what he found when he got up there? Nobody. Nobody was guarding the walls because they were safe. They were fine. And they were complacent. And Jesus says to the church, who would understand it immediately because this is their history, you better watch. You better not go to sleep, or else I'm going to come like a thief and you won't know when. You see how it all ties in? That's who he spoke this to. And you think they learned their lesson? 3.5 centuries later, the same thing happened all over again. The enemy scampered up the wall and found the guards asleep. Humiliation and defeat came because they went to sleep. Church, Jesus tells us, watch and be ready. How many remember who Samson was? Great long hair, great strength, too often wickedly immoral. But he was a deliverer in Israel. Good story about God using whoever's available, right? Anyway, so the Lord doesn't wink at that thing anymore, but I'm heading somewhere. You remember when Samson had his haircut? And then the enemies came upon him, and the Bible says he roused himself to go out and do what he'd always done. But what does it say? Remember? He didn't. No, God had departed from him. And that's where Sardis is. God had departed. Now let me tell you a tragic ending. There was a small church here. And there were 30, 50,000 people in this community. And today, generations later, Sardis is a wretched little Turkish village called Sart, the habitation of herdsmen, buffaloes, oxen. And the grand ruins of Sardis lift up their heads as if to declare their ancient glory. But there is not one Christian family there. Not one. Jesus finishes and says to the faithful, he commands the few who have not defiled their garments. The overcomer will be clothed in white garments, and the wedding garments are represented in this picture. The clean garments are going to be maintained in what they get to wear. It's all right. It's okay. No problem. Thanks, Pat. Pat does a great job. Even the temples would require you to change out of dirty clothes. And Jesus says, if you overcome, I won't blot out your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. And now I could spend hours on a raging controversy as to whether or not there's eternal security. Can your name be in the Book of Life and then blot it out? Well, let me show you something. Many in Sardis had their names written in because they started right, but they have now been declared by Jesus as dead. Church, how many know you make a choice? You know how to maintain eternal security? Stay close to Jesus. Then you don't have to worry about it. You know, the age-old thing is, if you're going to go down a mountain trail, how close can you get to the edge and fall off? That's the wrong way to look at the problem. Go the other way. How close can I get to the edge and still be all right? I know I'm going to be all right if that's where I walk. If the Lord has said anything to you this morning, and you know there's some areas where I need to be right with God. There's some things where I need to get back to the first works, first and foremost. Repent. He says He'll forgive. He has mercy. Walk with Jesus. Let's get as close to Him. As Pastor Sherry's favorite verse, as for me, I get as close to Him as I possibly can. Let's let that be our life, our lifestyle. More than anyone else, can you say it with me? I want to see Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear. First, foremost, not second, not last. Let's learn from the letter to the church at Sardis. Will you stand with me, musicians? Will you come, please? Let's finish with that song, Pat, more than anyone else. You want to be as close to Him as you possibly can be? You sure? Come on, a few of you. Are you sure you want to be as close to Jesus as you can be? Lord, we thank You for the privilege of being Your people. And we take a warning, like all of these letters, there are things we can learn from. We thank You, Lord, for the issue and lessons of history. But we don't want our Christianity to be a history lesson. We want to keep walking, keep going. We want to get ready. We want to stay ready. And we want to grow. Thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit and Your grace. In Jesus' name. The Lord has spoken to you. I urge you this day. Come on up front. Take time with Jesus. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you. If there's something in your life that you need the Lord to move on, we'll be honored to pray for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Father, I pray You bless these precious people as they go from this place. Lord, we commit ourselves to going out more sold out to You than ever before. In Jesus' name. And they all said?
Amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.